Thanks for the opportunity to give another talk here. I'm addressing something which during the last years which somehow occupied my mind in the area of humanities and computer science. This was in fact my professional perspective, because I started as a linguist and moved to computer science later on. And at the moment I'm pursuing some ideas about digital humanities in a project about the books of Dimitri Cantemir from, well, he was around the world, in first on the Balkan, at this time in Moldavia. Today most of this is Romania. Then he was in Istanbul, or in Constantinople at that time, and then in St. Petersburg. So he was a real world citizen. And when modeling the contents of his works, or some of his books, and bringing together different versions of the book, maps, voices from outside, from other books, quotations, we saw that digital humanities at the moment, for me, seems to be on a dangerous track, because most or many of them try to leave out any vagueness, which is very dangerous for historical research, when you can't model historical voices, books, or pictures in a sense like this is an item in a database and this is always true. And this is what I'm talking about. And Cantemir himself very often quoted facts and said, I am not sure whether this is true, and I don't dare to decide how the truth between A, B, C, and D can be written down. So I'll first talk a bit controversial about digital humanities. I'm old enough to be controversial. And then a bit about my view to the theoretical background of humanities. Then I'll talk about vagueness and how this topic came up in linguistics. And then I'll talk about some details in this project about Dimitri Cantemir's history of Moldavia, not the history of Turkey, which is the most famous book. He wrote it for the Berlin Academy at that time. I mean, this is remarkable enough. So this is another book. And then I'll extract some challenges for digital humanities from this, and give some examples for modeling and some ideas about next step. So this is what normally digital humanities would claim. They have three levels of activities. The first is the data level. It's quite clear to make accessible the humanities data, bring them in a computerized, computer-readable form, and in a form to process it with computational processes. The second level might be to link data. That's what we always did, to bring together books and different texts, different pictures, different output from scientific methods and so on, from different media, things from different times and different areas, and so on. And this, the third level, which is always claimed by people from humanities, is that afterwards, this material produced by machine-readable media and by processing it on computers, this material must be interpreted in a way how normally humanities would interpret their material. And I think this third level at the moment must be brought again to the discussion. So this is a sort of cartoon about humanities, but if you ask humanities, they will always say, yes, this is our topic. It looks like rather unclear paths in unclear relations. And this is the controversial consequence. Digital humanities tend to say, this is how we prepare the material. So all the fuzziness disappears here. And I think this is a real danger, because the humanities topics is not like this. This is, in a sense, humanities nightmare, to have material where all the problems, how to connect things, how to link different media, different ideas in a historical situation, for example. And that's why we choose historical material, to show this is really the core of activities in humanities. I'll come back to it a bit later. But this is it's sort of cartoon. But this is basically how I'm seeing the danger in computational in digital humanities. And there was a very famous Dachstuhl seminar near Saarbrücken, where very well acquainted people in the field talked about the future of digital humanities, and one of their topics was how to come along with uncertainty, with vagueness, with all these topics in computational humanities, as they call it. And if you look to the topic from computer science side, you will find people who claim they are soft computing people from computer science. And I think this is a step ahead and an idea where to look at for all the people from humanities, because soft computing is really giving the next step to move from hard computing. This is from Seising, Rudolph, and Veronica Sen's book, moving from hard computing to soft computing. And in my view, digital humanities is still in the paradigm of hard computing. And it's not necessary to remain there. And I've found another very encouraging quotation in the white paper of Owens and Coppola about integrating vision or visual media, pictures, films, and historical data. And they are on the same track of soft computing, where, in my view, this is a bit controversial, in my view, digital humanities is unnecessarily one stop behind, because they still claim that once we bring our data, even historical data, into a conceptualized form, bring it to the computer, arrange a database in it, then we did what we can, and that's our main task. In my view, this is old-fashioned, because soft computing and computer science is around the corner. And I think humanities should insist in the theoretical ground of humanities built by or described by Wilhelm Dilthey in his Einleitung in Die Geisteswissenschaft from 1922. And I think this is very important to compare his words always with digital humanities results, which somehow try to eliminate vagueness from humanities topics. And on the same line, but from a completely different angle, Jürgen Habermas, very well pronounced in his small book, Technik und Wissenschaft als Ideologie, he again insists in the communicative basis of humanities and not a scientific basis of humanities. And I think this should be kept for future discussions, that humanities follow their own rationality, according to Dilthey and Habermas, distinct from science and technology. And the next paragraph is very controversial. My idea is that some modern humanists are a bit confused about the low public recognition and scientific acceptance of humanities from science and from the public. And scholars in the humanities very often are good computer users, and they have very interesting techniques with the computers, but in my view, they should stay on the grounds of Dilthey and Habermas, because the integration of heterogeneous information in media should be the starting point for the interpretation of humanities and keep vagueness and keep ambiguity and keep uncertainty in the data. Digital humanities always paint to ontologies. Ontologies make our life easier because there are clear concepts, clear relations, well-defined relations among concepts in an ontology, very clear logical construction among the concepts in an ontology, but as I said, it's very dangerous to use ontology, the idea of ontologies coming from hard computing, because this doesn't fit to the ideas of humanities. Even the idea of grounding the ontology by named entities, for example, does not change the situation, because once you go into historical data and not data of our times, the named entities become unclear and uncertain and ambiguous. Is Istanbul the right correlation of Constantinople? Sure it's not. But where is it modeled I mean, if you have named entities and maps, so you can't simply map these two names. The same for titles. Caesar or Augustus is not unambiguous, and it's not not clear how these named entities should be positioned in time and in humanities research. Even empires, gods, countries, like Wallachia. Wallachia changed its meaning over 1,000 years. Or epochs, Renaissance, you have very vague borders of these named entities. And if you do so, if you try to keep the uncertainty or the vagueness of these named entities, you need an elaborated time logic to model that in addition to establishing ontologies. Next step, to insert reasoning in this ontologies. So ontologies without any evaluation or producing no results from there is not really useful for humanities. And in computer science, reasoning about ontologies was always, in the old times of artificial intelligence, was always a must in research. Now, apparently it's forgotten. People are constructing ontologies, what they call ontologies. In practice, it's a relation among words. And this is really becomes to be dangerous. Let's remain a bit on ontologies, according to Guarino, who really brought ontologies with inferences and with real concepts to this field. And what he wrote, what he did in his ontologies was not simply annotating words, bring them, or some sets of symbols, and bring them in a clear logical relation. And he always points out that the vocabulary and the ontology is something different, and the main problems coming or looking from Guarino's point of view is how to abstract, to come to ontologies, and how to write rules for processing the ontology, for example, combination rules, how truth values behave if you reason about entries of an ontology. And what about alternative ontologies and vague ontologies, which means, for example, in our project, that the history of Moldavia is deeply influenced by the Turkish Empire, and the administration slowly moves from the local administration to Turkish administration. How to model in an ontology the administrative backbone of these countries merging more and more, because the whole Balkan became a part of the Ottoman Empire. Because of the time, I'll skip some more slides. This is only to show that what is quoted as vagueness or as uncertainty is only a very small portion of what, for example, Manfred Pinkel shows as the whole span of semantic vagueness, uncertainty, unclarity, underspecification. So if you are talking about digital humanities, in my view, you must keep this in mind, that this is really the span of phenomena which must bring into ontologies, bring into rules to evaluate the ontology and to bring it into annotation, into your annotation schema. Some of my examples come from, as I said, from Dimitri Cantemir's History of Moldavia from 1752, and parallel texts and other texts about Balkan time, including maps, including reactions on what he wrote, and comparing the Latin origin, the Latin book, because he wrote it in Latin, but full of Romanian quotations, full of ancient Greek quotations, full of Turkish, of Tatar, of German, of Polish quotations. And the reliability of what he's quoting very often is commented by himself, saying, I'm not sure whether they are right. How do you represent this in an ontology? Cantemir says, I'm not sure about that. This might be, it might be completely different. So this is the task of humanities, the remaining task of humanities. And we try to find out by representation, including vagueness, what is known in Central Europe about Moldavia, about Balkan countries, and what about what is known about the Turkish Empire, including his Moldavia, his country. He was living there and was a ruler of this country. Two main challenges come up in this project. First, to compare historical text editions in this field. The German, the Russian version, the new version in Romanian, to compare these translations, to compare these translations, to compare historical texts and modern language, because the German translation is late Middle High German or early modern German, and it's printed in black letter, so some of modern students can't read even the translation, the German translation. Fortunately enough, we can scan it today, and the error rate is just okay. How to compare historical texts and historical maps, because, for example, you find Bulgaria to the north of Moldavia, which somehow is very funny. And, for example, cities in Greece are located on the border of the Adria. For example, Thessaloniki is on the Adria side. And things like that. I mean, you can say this is wrong. This is simply historically not true. But it's the knowledge of the time. I mean, if you are talking about this book, this is historical truth. People have used his map to travel through this area. And if you are talking about Cantemir, you have to talk about his errors and the vagueness of his entries. Then to map all these multilingual contents of his book. The second challenge, in my view, is not to get rid of the vagueness, but to include the vagueness on several layers. It's linguistic vagueness, what you are always talking about in this audience, but there are fuzzy concepts and how to represent this. For example, before Stephen the Great, all mountains around Moldavia belonged to Transylvania, and the country was narrow on this side. How, I mean, if you put this as a fact in a database, you can't do any research on this because it's not a fact. But it's a vague description of something what's narrow. You can't insert a concept of narrowness without really talking about vagueness. Fuzzy maps and fuzzy regions. I will very shortly touch on the name of Serfia, which was included in the map, and which is highly vague, because even at that time, lexicon entries said it could be A, B, C, D, E, F, and it could be a misspelling, or it could be a misinterpretation of phonetically similar entries, and so on. And it's full of naive history. It's full of uncertain facts. He's talking about a hill and said, I don't know who is right. People are partly telling this is A, and this is, others are talking this is B or this is C. There is no factive basis of all this. So this, I'll skip this, and so this is quite clear how orthography and scripts changed over time, and all the multilinguality, and this is, this is what I talked about, the area Serfia. It's on a map. I mean, it was used for traveling there, and we tried to. Sorry. We tried to find it first in a Romanian entry in Wikipedia, and you see, 1, 2, 3, 4 ambiguities, and we tried to model this, giving an ontology which we built up by some student work first, and then we introduced regions, and we introduced the Kodran region, the Sanjak, and the Serbia, the so-called Serbia, and we brought together in the lower part here, we brought together these different interpretations, including the interpretation of the phonetic confusion, which is mentioned there. Phonetic confusion with Serbia, which is in a different part of the map. And it's one of the problems which comes up is how to represent vagueness here, because I mean in this triple structure you have only three positions to model it. If you use one for vagueness, then you lose the power of this representation. If you introduce something like a super evaluation vagueness concept, then you need at least quadruple structures. Okay, then we compared it with a contemporary lexicon entry in Zedler. I simply transcribed it into modern German, the same situation. Apparently this was more or less quoted in the modern Romanian Wikipedia concept. And it's at that time the same situation, how to model it without simply filling a database. And I think in modern, or in the next step, digital humanities representation, we need to indicate, first to indicate fuzziness. So this is a fact which we treat first as a fact, but it's marked as fuzzy in all the sources, or in these sources, but not in these sources. Then to order, or to give a ranking to this fuzziness, because as I showed in one of the first slides, the fuzziness is on different levels. This is what Lotfi Zade said all the time. There is not one confidence value which is only interpreted as the value of credibility, or the value of a source, the credibility value of a source, or unknown historical data, or, and he could quote lots of different levels of fuzziness which he tried to model in his fuzzy technology. And the third task for digital humanities is to show all these phenomena with all their vagueness in visualization, to convey all these the true basis of the sources for humanities to the researcher in humanities. And it's necessary to show it, and not to do like in the first cartoon slide, to put it into rectangular squares and say this is a fact and this is part of our ontology. Okay, some of, and last slide, Cantemir himself is very clear about his sources. And sometimes when he's writing, it looks like RST material. So he says, this is, might be this, and I have the following sources and the following warrant for this this fact. And you will listen to some more details in the last talk of today by Christina. Thanks. I mean, we are 30 years later, and in a new paradigm called digital humanities, and all the time the same problems.
Yeah.